14th chapter. We'll start reading at verse number 6. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Let's pray. Father, again I thank you today for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. I'm so thankful, Father, that you've left it for us and given it to us, and we can trust it and know that it's true. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching the Word of God tonight. And Father, we need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your power. And Lord, each one of us needs, Lord, to be willing to allow you to do what needs to be done in our hearts. And we'll remember to thank you and praise you for it. In the loving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you remember last week, we had went from chapter 13 to chapter 14, and it was quite a change. Chapter 13, of course, was about the tribulation period, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all the things that was coming upon the earth, and the devastating things that was going on, and that the Antichrist was being worshipped, and of course that meant, in the scriptures there it talks about that meant that Satan also, the dragon, was being worshipped, and men could not buy or sell, at least they had a mark, and all of these things. And then last week we stepped into chapter 14, and as we said, it's almost like God put chapter 14 in parentheses and said, now I want to tell you something. I want to show you something. If you remember last week, we discussed the fact that after all of that terribleness of chapter 13, God said, but let me just kind of show you down the road. Let me show you what's going to happen. And we took time last week of looking at the Lord standing on Mount Zion with 144,000. They made it through. Amen. They made it through it all. And I think it's a marvelous thing that God has taken a little time here to kind of look in through to the future and give us a little bit of view of what's going to happen then through the tribulation period, and at the ending of that, that everything is going to be all right. And so we thank God for that, because we have the promises. We have the promises of the Bible, and we know God's going to do everything he said he was going to do. And it is going to be all right, folks. Amen. Troubles and tribulations and all of those things and difficulties of life, but it's going to be all right. If you're God's child, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's okay. Amen. And you've got that promise about that. In chapter 14, as we started last week, we see in chapter 14 six different angels who come and present themselves either with a message to give or with a task to perform. We're not going to, of course, cover all those tonight, but in verse number 6, you see an angel comes. In verse number 8, he says, and there followed another angel. In verse number 9, it says, and the third angel. And then in verse number 15, it says, and another angel came out of the temple. In verse number 17, and another angel came out of the temple. In verse 18, and another angel came out. In other words, in chapter 14, we see six different angels that has a task to perform or a message to present. And so basically what we're going to do tonight is cover the very first one, because I kind of want to deviate just a little bit, and I'll show you why in just a moment. But in verse number 6, you see an angel comes and he has a message to preach in the midst of the heavens. The Bible says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven and having the everlasting gospel to preach. Now his message is kind of different, as we'll look at in a minute, but let me say something to you. The gospel of Jesus Christ that saves souls has never changed. It is the same gospel. There's never been anyone saved except through putting faith and trusting God. Either they was looking forward to what Jesus Christ would do, or now they're looking back as we are, what he's already done. But it's faith and trust what God has done to supply the sacrifice for our sin. We understand that. I believe you understand that. That's the only way anybody could get saved, you see. But he talks about here the everlasting gospel, and we find that at these people on earth during this tribulation period had already heard the two witnesses. If you remember, the two witnesses spent the first 3.5 years preaching and also condemning and bringing judgments on lost men. He also finds that God gave us 144,000 Jewish preachers that preached the word of God during the tribulation period. We saw them standing with him on Mount Zion. So the earth, the world has heard. They've heard the truth of the Word of God. And during this period, of course, during this tribulation period, and chapter 13 gives us so much about that, they have been worshiping Satan and the beast. I mean, this Antichrist is going to be a popular fellow. Now, I think later on he's going to rule, and he'll rule out of fear. But I think he'll be a popular person when he first comes onto the scenes. And we see in verse number 4 of chapter 13, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And in verse, I'm not going to read them all, but verse 8, verse 12, verse 15, all of those verses tell about the worship of the beast here, and also, of course, the worship of Satan, and gives us that what has been happening then during that tribulation period. It's a horrible thing, and they've been worshiping the Antichrist and, of course, Satan. Now, we find also that it's not the Creator that is being worshiped, but the creature is being worshiped. We discussed this when we came down and showed you the false prophet and all of these, and how he was pointing everybody to the Antichrist. In other words, humanism at its ultimate. Here's the man. Here's the great man. You see, man makes his own salvation his own way, you see. And so they've been worshiping the creature instead of the Creator. And so we find that this message that this angel is going to bring is a message of judgment. And he is, as he says in verse number 6, he said, them that dwell on the earth and in every nation and kindred and tongue and people. In other words, he's going to fly through the air. He's going to preach this message. And here's what he's going to say. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him to glory. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that hath made made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. In other words, it's going to be a message that says you better fear God. As we've said, the world has been hearing this through the two witnesses, through the 144,000. The world's been hearing this, and he now, God sends an angel flying in the midst of the heaven preaching this message and saying you need to fear God and you need to give him the glory. Now that's what I want to spend just a little bit of time on, because he's saying that because he said the hour of judgment is come. I mean, it's all over. I believe when this happens, I believe it's going to be very near the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus is soon to come back to set up his kingdom. And we find that they need to worship him because he's the Creator. Now, this is important. That's what I'm going to spend some time on. But if you'll notice there, he says, the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that has made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. You see, today's world right now, evolution is the belief of the day. Now, I mean, I know you don't believe in evolution, but that thing is going to build, and it's going to build, and that's what men are going to believe in, is in evolution. Well, that gets us away from believing in the true and only Creator, the true God who is the Creator of all things. And evolution, if we will understand that thing, is a damnable doctrine. It's just not something that when we hear about it, oh, well, that's just some theory that they've come up with, or that's just something they're teaching in the schools. That is horrible. Yeah. Evolution is a horrible thing to be taught, because that takes the glory away from God Almighty. And we need to understand that. It's not something we ought to just sit and listen to. It's a terrible, wicked teaching. Because God created the heaven. He created the earth. He created the seas. He created the fountains of the waters. He created that. And if you'll notice there, that's the message that this angel preaching here is going to preach. He said, you give God, you fear God, you give him the glory that he created all of these things. Now, and again, you've got to understand that during this time, people are not going to be believing that. They're going to be worshiping the Antichrist and all of that. In other words, you better get back to believing who the Creator is. And even people in today's world, we're being so prepared for all of this. You know, it's just the evolution is building and building, and most a lot of people in this world just kind of believe that in principle, whether they say it or not, they believe it in principle, because if they don't believe in evolution, then who did create? See, who did? And so there has to be, you know, it's easier just to say, well, yeah, evolution happened, you know, I suppose God was in it, but not giving God the glory. And some of them believe that. They believe in that God used evolution. But let me just simply say, you know it because you're God's people here. You know it. God created the heavens and the earth. And you know that. And he didn't use evolution to do it. Amen. So he just created everything. Now, what I want to deal with tonight, I'm going to go back to the book of Romans for a little while. But we want to deal with the fact that God must, and that's the message here, God must, the creator of all things, must be glorified. Now that's the message that this angel preacher is preaching. You fear God and you glorify God. You give God the glory. That's the message, because see, at this point in time, certainly this was not being done. Romans, the first chapter, what I want to do is I want to try to take a little time and show you the seriousness of not glorifying God. And it's very serious business. And I'm you know, I don't know, because I'm not in churches, but I want to say this to this church. I say I'm not in churches. I'm not in a lot of churches to see a lot of things. But I want to say this to this church. We must constantly glorify God. And we don't do that just with words. We do that with our lives. And we must constantly give him the honor and the glory for all things. Now we must. It's an important thing. If you want the right kind of church, you want a church life that is correct and right, he must receive the glory at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now that's important. And we must remember that. And also, he must receive the glory in your life and in my life. We must glorify him. So, because I want to show you the danger of this thing, and we're going to go up at verse number 16 of chapter 1. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul here is bringing us the message of the book of Romans. And he's saying to us that it's the gospel of Christ and it's the power of God unto salvation. That's the way you get saved. There isn't any other way for salvation except through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the power of God unto salvation. It'll save your soul. And then he says, "For therein," therein where? Therein the gospel. "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." God, through the gospel, has revealed righteousness unto us. Jesus Christ is righteous. Amen? He is righteous. And through the gospel message, God has revealed to us his righteousness. And then immediately he takes that in verse number 18 and says, because you got to tie it together, sometimes just like I'm preaching from a Scofield Bible, but those little headings there sometimes will throw you because you all at once kind of break and say, well, there's a break there. There isn't a break there. I mean, he gives you some headings sometimes that helps you in the understanding of what he's talking about and all that. But there's not a break there. Because then he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And he says, God is angry. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness, unrighteousness. His wrath is revealed to us. You see, because why? There's only one righteousness, and that's found in Jesus Christ. In the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one righteousness. And if you'll notice there, he talks about revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Folks, you've got to understand where he talks about ungodliness, and then he says, and unrighteousness of men. Ungodliness produces unrighteousness. The reason we have so unrighteous living, wicked living, is because of ungodliness. God is left out. That's why you see these horrible crimes that is multiplying, because God is left out. And the unrighteous acts of men are going to be more prominent when you leave God out. Now, I don't apologize for preaching. We need to get God back in the schools. We need to get God. They talk about prayer, and I think prayer is a wonderful thing, but we just need to get God back in the schools. We need to get him back in our government. We need to get him back in all of these things, because he's the reason you are witnessing so much unrighteousness. The lack of him being there and allowed to control our lives is why people can do all kinds of things in unrighteous ways. And so his wrath is revealed against unrighteousness, you see. And he says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they hold the truth. They know the truth. Now, the next verse is going to tell us that. They know the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. In other words, but they're unrighteous anyway. They know the truth. They've heard the truth. They understand there is a God that exists, but they live unrighteous anyway. Now, here's what he says. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God is saying to us that man understands there is a God. He needs to be preached to them the gospel of Jesus Christ on how to be saved. That's why we send out a lot of money into mission fields. And well, we should, because we've got to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. But as far as men knowing that there is God, all they have to do is look around and know that there's God. They know that. It's in them. See, you'll hear some of them say, I don't know whether there's a God or not. Well, that's kind of like what he says in agnostic says. I don't know if there's a God or not. And what he needs to do, and I'm no person on languages, but I was told once that the Latin for agnostic was ignoramus. And I think what they need to do is walk around and saying, I'm an agnostic. I just say, I'm an ignoramus. Same word, I don't know. And that's what they claim. They don't know if there's a God. Oh, yes, they do. And the reason is because God told me they do. It's revealed that there is a God. Now, they may not understand how to get to that God. They may need the message of Jesus Christ preached to them. But they know there's a God, because God said there did. Now, here's what happens in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, see, when they knew God, they knew of God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What I want to stress to you is simply this. When men refuse to recognize God, what happens is this. They then refuse to glorify him as God. Now, when I said that we must glorify God, I'm not just saying that for the sake of fun or just something we need to make a point of. I'm saying something to you folks. You must glorify God. It's dangerous not to, because it's on a downward trail if you don't glorify God. And we'll see what happens. Glorifying God ought to be done constantly. I guarantee you, there's two things here that I'll show you that help you if you've got sin in your life. And the first one is, if you've got sin in your life, you start glorifying God for everything that He does for you. You should constantly practice the habit of giving God the glory. Now, I know the next thing is entered into that, but recognizing who God is, how great God is, what He has done, what He has accomplished. Look at all that He has made. Look at all He did in sending Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Look at all those things that He has done. God Almighty deserves glory and honor. And we've got to be a church that mouths that, yes. Yes, that's important, we mouth that. But let me say to you, it's more important that we let our lives also show forth that God receives the glory. It's not a matter of speaking it and then going out and living like we want to live or like the devil. No, it's saying, you know, God receives the glory. And those are things, if you will start doing, will help you. The second thing he said, neither were they thankful. Now, folks, I want you to listen very closely, because those two things start the downward trail to a reprobate mind. And we'll follow it. You see, when a person becomes unthankful, they're on dangerous ground. Very dangerous. You glorify God and you're thankful. If you've got sin in your life, begin to thank God for every good thing He does for you. Every single thing, folks. I'm not talking about some big thing, and that is important when God does some big thing for us. We're not just talking about He gave you a new car. We are talking about He let you get up this morning. He gave you a night's sleep last night. He gave you some breakfast this morning. He gave you a wife that loves you. And you know what, men? We all thank God every day for that dear wife that God give us. I'm serious about that. We'll be very, very thankful and grateful to God. Ladies, you ought to be very thankful for the man God gave you. You're going to say, Brother Ross, he's not everything he ought to be. I know that, but you start being thankful for him. You be thankful for him and grateful for him. You see, without a thankful heart, you're in real danger of going farther into sin. I'm simply saying this, I hope you get a hold of it, because folks, listen to me, thankfulness is something that'll change your life. I didn't say you wouldn't fail at it. I didn't say there'd be times that you're not going to be very thankful, but get that right. Thankfulness is something that we should always convey to our God, how thankful we are for what He's done. Well, I'm just telling you, Don and I will sit around a lot of times. Saturday morning is kind of our morning where we don't rush. And I usually don't go out on visitation until about 10:30, 11 o'clock on Saturday. And we'll sit around and we'll find ourselves looking at the things that God has done for us. And we'll just mention them. We'll talk about them. And we'll just, you know, converse over what God has done. You know, here, you remember what God, yeah, isn't that wonderful? How God done that for us. I'm simply saying, if you get a thankful heart, now you don't have to do that on Saturday. We don't just do it on Saturday. You can do it anytime you want. But I'm simply saying to you, there ought to be constant thanksgiving unto God for what He's done. And not just the material things, which is very important, I understand, but not just the material things, but the spiritual things God has done for us. The little personal things that God does for us. That time when you picked the Bible up and you were so down and depressed and depressed and you read some scripture and God just kind of reached down and lifted you up and hugged you and loved you and said, God, thank you. I needed that. Now, what I'm saying is simply this. If you don't have a heart that glorifies God and that gives thanks unto God, you are on dangerous ground, because here's exactly what happened to these people. If you'll notice, he said, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, when you become not glorifying God and not being thankful to God, your imaginations or your reasonings become vain and empty. And pretty soon, he says, and their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, they lost the light of divine knowledge in their life. It meant not anything to them anymore. They didn't think about God. They didn't give glory to God. They were not thankful to God. And so their hearts become very darkened. And then he says, and he changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, make like a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. In other words, they changed one for the other. Instead of glorifying God and recognizing how great and wonderful God is and giving him the glory, pretty soon what they're doing when their hearts become darkened, here they are giving credit to four-footed beasts and creepy things and things like this. They get away from God and begin to worship all kinds of creatures instead of the creation. Now this is a downward thing. Watch this thing. This is what happens. And he says, wherefore God also gave them up. In other words, he gave them up to their desires. This is what they wanted. This is what they desired. And he gave them up to their desires. To uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And once again, if you just notice that, he said he just gave them up to uncleanliness. The lust of their own heart. What they wanted, what they desired, he just gave them over to it. They was not glorifying God. They were not thankful to God. Their reasonings and their imaginations became vain. Their foolish hearts was darkened. And God said, just give them over. Here they are. To what? To the lust, to their desires. Not God's desire for them, but to their desires. And then he says, who changed the truth, or substituted the truth of God into a lie. He substituted what God was and who he is and instead accepted a lie. And then he says, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now you remember back in Revelation where God said that he sent this angel and he began to cry out and preach in the midst of the heaven. He says, fear God, give him the glory, for he's the one created heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Instead of worshiping the creatures, we better get back to worshiping the creator. Now, man today, basically, I know there's God's people all over this world, but let me say to you, the worldly people today worship creatures. They worship men. Sports is a great illustration of that. Men worshipers. Men worshipers. But it's not just that. Men become more important in every avenue of life. But God the Creator is left out. See, now that's what happens when you don't glorify God. When they knew God, they knew of God, they knew of his existence, they knew he was there, but they didn't glorify him as God, and they were unthankful. They didn't stop and say, thank you God for this food. You ever go into a restaurant and just kind of watch when people come and sit down? You find out that multitudes and multitudes never stop to thank God. And so if they don't do it there, I'm sure they don't do it in their home either, probably, more than likely. Just never give God the glory. Not thankful for every little thing that God does. I tell you, I've done this, and I want you to just try it sometime. Just go out through the day, and everything that happens to you, look for something good in it and thank God for it. Just get in the habit of saying, well, yes, that was not, maybe that was a tough thing, a hard thing. But God, thank you for sending it to me. For there's a reason in it. There's a purpose for it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Become thankful, you see. If we don't, we're heading the same direction these folk head. And he says, for this cause God gave them up unto the vile affections. And he says, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. The word vile there speaks of something that is dishonorable, which is filthy and dirty. And you see, it's just constantly, constantly going downhill. And it talks about how the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. The word unseemly speaks of something shameful. Shameful. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And again, this here thing that we're seeing evident in America today is just part of the process that's happened. That's why you see the sodomites, so many of them. Because when they knew God, they glorified not God. They become unthankful and they just begin to constantly go downhill, and pretty soon they have reprobate minds, as we'll see here in just a moment. They can't even make decisions and discernments and judgments. They just think they're doing all right. That's why you see so many folks that says it's an alternate lifestyle and it's all right. And I'm not going to just preach on sodomites tonight, but folks, you know it isn't all right. It is not all right. God will forgive them and cleanse them if they'll repent and turn to God. God will do that for them just like he would you and I. But it is not all right. It is not an alternate lifestyle. It is sin. It's wicked sin. Amen. So we're just simply seeing that God then just simply gives them over, gives them up to it, you see. And then in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. If you look at the last of verse number 27, it talked about receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meat. In other words, they received the reward that come from wickedness in their life. They got a return on their wickedness. And we're seeing today that the sins and the diseases and the things that's coming out of the sodomite community, it's part of the process. It's natural that would happen. Those sins are just part of the natural process of wickedness and evilness. People say, well, God's judging them. It's built in. It's just built in. Part of God's process. You get out of sight of God's will, and I'll say to you folks, there's all kinds of things can happen. We get outside of the will of God. So get away from the Bible, the Word of God. And then it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whisperers. Boy, you get in some of those sins there. It's kind of amazing what he has put in there. Here's whisperers put in the midst of all of these sins. It's amazing. And then he says, backbiters. Isn't that amazing? Backbiters. He said, haters of God. Right along with haters of God, there's backbiters. He says, despiteful, proud, people who are proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of all of those wicked sins, it says, disobedient to parents. Isn't that amazing? Right in the midst of all of those wickedness, he said, disobedient to parents. Why is that a result? Well, it's a result of a wicked heart. Bad heart. See, something needs to be done here. And he says, without understanding, covetousness, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, natural affections. You've read in the paper here just lately this 70-year-old woman who had killed 8 of her 10 children. Did you read that? She was 70-year-old, and she finally comes to admit that she had 10 children. 2 of them died of natural causes, and the other 8 she killed, suffocated them. That's unnatural. You heard in the paper this man who suffocated his little baby as revenge to his wife. That's unnatural. It's unnatural. I mean, you and I would sit and look at that and would say, how can anybody hurt a little baby? How can anybody? Well, it's because of unnatural affections. It's part of the wickedness of the heart. And then he says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I just want to take some time tonight to remind you of something. Back in the book of Revelation, the message of the angel preacher is going to be fear God and give him the glory. For he's the creator. And again, I would say to you and I, you know, if you're born again, you're God's child. But that same principle ought to be in our life. Glorify God. Be thankful to God. It'll help you. When I talked about sin earlier, you got sin in your life. Start giving God the glory for all things and start thanking Him for everything He does for you. Every even minute thing that God does, you'll find out when you get a thankful heart and you give Him the glory, it's just quite a bit harder to sin. Because He's the one that deserves glory and honor. And all at once, He's important in your life. Be thankful. Practice that. Just practice it, however you wish to practice it. But learn to be thankful and grateful for what God done for you. And in that, you've got to be careful, because you know what we do? We hone in on the little things which we consider bad. We can have 20 good things happen in a day. One bad thing happened, and we'll hone in on it. Quit doing that. Hone in on what He's done, the good things, wonderful things, and consider the bad thing as sent from Him for a purpose and a reason. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again, I thank You today for Your kindness and Your goodness and Your wonderful grace. Help us, Lord, to always honor and glorify Thy name. Help us to always be grateful and thankful for Your goodness and kindness to us. Now we ask You, Lord, to do Thy will in this invitation, that You will be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.